forward in your life than the lies that Satan puts forward on you. We will go through valleys of discouragement, there is no doubt, and God will rise us up into the mountains. But if Kathy sings a song called God on the Mountain, many of you have asked for that multiple times, and hold those words to truth, the God on the mountain is the God in the valley, and He walks with us daily. And so as Brother David comes after Maggie sings, let it all be an encouragement to your heart this morning. God will take us through the dark times. There is no doubt in my mind about that, because He has done that in my life. And I know that each one of you sitting here today have gone through a dark time in your life. And when you look back, you realize that God was there. You might not have felt it right at that moment, but you know that God walks with you during those times. So Miss Maggie, come and encourage us in song, Brother David, with your words of preaching.
Good morning. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. The Lord of might and miracles, it's written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of His power and wisdom all the way through. And every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace.
Well, good morning. All right, just get up. Get up. Stand up. Cross the aisle. And tell somebody you're glad to see them. Would you do that? Hey there, buddy. You gonna come up here and talk to me? What you doing today?
Good to see you.
That's my buddy right there.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Now let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you look a whole lot better now. It's good to see you. Good to have you here. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to talk about our favorite subject. We're going to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
And turn our eyes on Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 is where we'll be at. And we're going to talk about a prophecy that was not initially a prophecy. A very interesting text. You know, when you study your Bible, you find so many fantastic things. God's Word is just fantastic. It's really good. And today we're going to read responsibly out of Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15. You should have a handout in your bulletin. Congregation, read the bold-faced part of the text, and we read these words. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt.
And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son."
Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord God, that you will help us to understand this word, that your Holy Spirit will be in this place, Lord, that, Lord God, you would lift our hearts up to you. Lord, we love you, we adore you, we praise you, we magnify you. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us into this place today. Lord, we lay our burdens before you, and we pray, Lord, that you would draw us away from Egypt and into your marvelous arms. It's in Christ's precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You know, God has a word for his people, and he speaks to his people. Joseph and Mary, they were, I imagine, surprised when they saw the wise men come. And they saw these wise men come and bringing gifts, and everything looked really good. They were having a mountaintop experience. But then an angel came to Joseph and said, "Joseph, you need to arise." And he says, "Flee into Egypt and be there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy them." And Joseph heard God, and he did what God told him to do. And he went into Egypt, and he was blessed because of it. You know, Matthew quotes a prophecy from Hosea, and we read this in verse 15. He said he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Now, Matthew is actually quoting a text out of Hosea 11, verse 1. And Hosea 11, verse 1, when it was first written, did not seem to be a prophecy, but a statement of fact. Hosea 11, 1 says this, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt." But Matthew saw a deeper prophecy hidden inside of this text. And that's what I want to talk about today, where it says, God says, "I loved my son and called my son out of Egypt." What is Egypt? Now, I've spent time in the military. I went over into Egypt. I saw, I walked the streets of downtown Cairo. I walked on those desert sands. I saw the pyramids. I saw the Sphinx. I walked up and touched the Great Pyramids. And I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather have an ice cream at the Dairy Queen than go back. There was nothing in Egypt that was a blessing. Egypt is a land that is filled with false gods. Egypt is a broken country. Egypt is a country where ISIS is now. We had to set guards on the tents whenever we had church when we were in the military, because the Muslims would come in and they wouldn't shake your hand. They would hurt you. Egypt is a place of cursing. Egypt is not the promised land. But I want you to know this. God can use bad things to bring about good things.
Amen.
And that's what God did with Egypt. You know, a lot of times bad things happen to us and we look at them and we say, "Why did God allow this to come my way?" Well, perhaps God is allowing that bad thing to come your way because he's looking to bring you into a better place. You know, Egypt started out whenever we think about Israel, God, whenever he called Abraham and he told Abraham, he said, if you'll follow me, I'll bless you. But God told Abraham in Genesis 15, he said, know for certain your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. They will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years, but I will judge the nation whom they will serve, and they will come out with many possessions. What was Egypt to Abraham? What was Egypt to the promises of God? Well, if you remember your story, and I remember that story of Joseph in the coat of many colors. Y'all remember that story? Joseph was blessed by God. And Joseph was hated by his brothers. And his brothers threw Joseph into a pit because they were jealous over a coat of many colors that his father made for him. But Joseph, whenever he was carried into Egypt, he stayed there for a long time. And eventually God raised Joseph up to where he was the right-hand man to the king of Egypt. Now, Israel started out as a man with 12 sons. But because of a famine in the land, if Joseph had not gone into that place of imprisonment, then there would have been no blessing for Israel. But Joseph opened up a door into Egypt, and his brothers came into that place. And whenever his brothers came into that place, Egypt became a place that covered them and blessed them. You see, we don't always understand why things work out the way that they do. But God knows everything. God is able. God is able to do above anything that we can ask or think. And we've got to trust God and love God and magnify him even in the bad times. I remember Joseph, when his brothers realized who Joseph was, those brothers, they began to think that their brother would take vengeance on them. And Joseph said this while he was king of Egypt. He said, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about many people that should be kept alive as they are today. Joseph looked beyond what he was going through and realized that God is the God that can turn that around. You know, Joseph, before he died, he gathered his loved ones around him, and he told them this. He said, listen, he said, whenever you leave this place, in Genesis 50, verse 26, he said, God will surely visit you. But whenever you leave this place, carry my bones up from hence. He said, I don't want to stay in Egypt, because Egypt is not the promised land. It's not the place. It's not Canaan. It's not the blessings of God. God says, out of Egypt I have called my son. Israel stayed in Egypt for over 400 years. And they were afflicted through many of those years. Sometimes it seemed like it would never end. But then one day, God raised up Moses, and Israel was called out of Egypt. When they came out, Joseph and his brothers and Israel went from a man and 12 sons to around 6 million people. And through all that adversity, they became stronger and able to go. And Moses led them out. God led them out through the Red Sea. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Egypt is not the place you stay, but it's the place you go and it's the place you visit. That's where you must go. As we continue to think about that for just a moment, Moses, as he led the people out, he took Israel from Egypt. But Israel, even though Israel was taken out of Egypt, Egypt became embedded in the people. And they kept looking back. Every time there was a bad thing that happened, they didn't look up, but they looked back. And they said, Moses, why did you lead us out here into the wilderness to kill us all? Why did you do this? And they kept looking back to Egypt. You know, Jesus has said this. He said, no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Egypt is not where you're going to stay. But God puts you in Egypt to bless you, and then God will lead you out of Egypt. Whatever that Egypt may be, God will lead you out of Egypt. Amen. He'll take you out of that place, and he'll bless you, but you have to keep looking up. Israel kept holding on to Egypt in their hearts. And God says, out of Egypt I've called my son. I want you to think about that. You're not called to live in Egypt. I think we've got a problem with a lot of Christians today. They want to live with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. And you can't live that way. You must follow the Lord wherever He leads you.
Amen.
Matthew, who wrote this prophecy, who wrote out the prophecy of Hosea 11:1, he said this. He said, out of Egypt, God has called His children. We're to come out of there. You know, Matthew one day was sitting at the tax collector's table. And Jesus came up to him. And I can imagine Matthew sitting at this table. And he's got all this money on the tabletop. And he's been taking money from his fellow Israelites for Rome. And they hated him for it. And Jesus walked up and he saw Matthew. And he told Matthew, he said, Matthew, follow me. And the Bible says Matthew got up from Egypt and he followed Jesus. God's people are called to follow Jesus and to trust Jesus and to love Jesus. I tell you, sometimes it's hard to plant a smile on our face when the hard times are there. But can I tell you, God has defeated the devil. He's defeated the world. And if you'll keep your eyes on Him, God will bless you.
Amen.
When you start looking around, a lot of times I'll look at others and I'll go, oh, I just don't feel good. Have you ever noticed when you say, I just don't feel good? You don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you right now and I don't feel good. Amen. And some of y'all don't feel good. Look at your neighbor right now and say, oh my, I don't feel good.
Oh,
tell them that. Oh, I don't feel good. Did that help?
No.
No. Now that you look at your neighbor and say, I don't feel good, but I belong to God. And it's going to get better. Because out of Egypt, God leads His children.
Amen.
You can follow discouragement. You can follow defeat. You can follow the devil, but you're not going to be blessed. But if you'll look upward and trust God, even when you don't see the hand of God, trust the heart of God. God said, out of Egypt, I'll call my son. God says, you stay in Egypt until I call you out. Joseph took Jesus into Egypt. And he stayed in Egypt until God called him out. Just like Israel stayed in Egypt until God called him out. And the whole time he was in Egypt, Jesus was still Jesus. The whole time you're in Egypt, you're still to be the child of God that God has called you to be. You're not called to fluctuate. Oh, this past week I was reading, and I like to read. I think that'd be the worst thing about going blind, not being able to read. But I was reading how Calvary Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. has just called co-pastors to pastor that church. Now, I don't have a problem with co-pastors. And I kind of appreciate my brother Jerry here. He kind of looks good today, don't he? You got about three of them clapping for you. You look good in black, though. But I don't have a problem with that co-pastor idea. But as you look at the rest of the news story, the co-pastor was two lesbians that have been married now for 5 years. And these co-pastors, now they're pastoring the church. And I saw their grinning faces, and I thought, out of Egypt, God has called His children. Beloved, you can't serve God in Egypt. You can't walk away from God's word and do it your way. You have to do it God's way. And God does not honor that. If you read God's word, you'll know that that is not honored. If you read God's word, you'll know that God doesn't honor hatred and meanness, but God honors love. And whenever Jesus went into Egypt, He never became part of Egypt, but He always stood out. Out of Egypt, God has called His children. You know, I want to look at a little further in this text. Jesus went into Egypt so He could be preserved for another time. And the Bible tells us that whenever He came out of Egypt, it says in verse number 23 of our text, that He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, this is another prophecy that's very interesting that Matthew brought up. Because people have looked for that prophecy in the Old Testament. And there is no prophecy in the Old Testament that says He shall be called a Nazarene. The commentators have looked at it and wondered what that is. But I tell you what I think it is. Nazareth was a place that had no regard whatsoever. I remember one time, one of the apostles told a man named Nathanael. They said, we have found the Messiah. He came from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, the fact that he was a Nazarene, I think, is because Jesus was despised of the world. He didn't come from a palace. He didn't come from a place of greatness. He didn't come from Herod's castle, but he came from a place where he was despised. My Bible tells me, and Jimmy read this scripture this morning about Jesus, the suffering Savior. And in Isaiah 53, it says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. Yet when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, when the Bible talks about Jesus, it talks about Jesus had to be carried into Egypt to protect his life, because the world cared nothing for Jesus. Now, the world cares nothing for Jesus now. Jesus came as a suffering Savior, and Jesus knows what pain is. He knows what abandonment is. He knows what suffering is. Jesus went into that place of Egypt to be saved. But when he came out of Egypt, he went to a little town in Nazareth, and he was rejected by the religious people. And yet Jesus continued the path, and he continued to follow the Lord, because Jesus knew that one day he was going to have to go to the cross of Calvary so he could pay for our sins. What a fantastic Savior we have. And whatever you're going through, Jesus knows what it is. He knows the pain of it. Jesus cried out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when he cried out those words, he felt the loneliness that you feel. Jesus cried out, I thirst. And they stuck a sponge in his face filled with gall, the Bible says. He knows what it is like to not be fulfilled. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to go through pain. But Jesus kept looking to God in the midst of all that, because Jesus loves you and he loves me. And the Bible tells me that God became man. The Son of God became the Son of Man. That God came from heaven to earth so that one day we can go from earth to heaven. And I look forward to that day where I can see my Savior face to face. Don't you?
Amen.
What an awesome God that we have. Jesus was not thought of by many, but Jesus suffered for us. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:21, Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting to him who judges justly. No matter what happened in Jesus' life, he kept looking up, because that's where the power is.
Amen.
That's how we come through Egypt, and that's how we're led out of Egypt. Jesus died for us, and Jesus died for us to bring us out of Egypt. I want to read to you from Hebrews 2 right now. It says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, to bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. And he is not ashamed to call us brethren. There's going to become a day, one day, where God is going to come and call us back. Out of Egypt, he will call his son. I think we call it the rapture. And I can hardly wait for that day. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But I do know this. He is coming back. And he's going to call us to himself. He's going to lead us out of this Egypt world, this sin-crusted world. But until that day, We're to be in Egypt. We're not to be influenced by Egypt, dragged down by Egypt, but we're to walk through Egypt as children of light, looking to Him, loving Him no matter what. There's days, I was watching a show one time, and this guy said, there's days I just can't hardly get a smile on my face. His friend said, well, just paste one on your face, because I got a drawer full of them. I like that saying. You know, if you would think about what's coming, then whatever you're going through now is nothing compared to the glory that you're one day going to see.
Amen.
Because out of Egypt, God did call His Son. Egypt's not where you're going to stay. You're there for a while, but it's just a temporary place. God's leading us to the promised land.
Amen.
And I'm going to keep my eyes on Him until the day He calls me home. How about you?
Amen.
Father, we love You so very much. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord God, for Your grace. We thank You, Jesus, for being that suffering servant. We thank You, O Lord, for we know this, that You did suffer for us. You did die for us. Lord, You experienced rejection. You experienced people picking on You. You experienced disease. Lord, though You had no sickness in You, so many people brought sickness to You. And Lord God, You conquered it all. Lord, we do pray for those that are sick today. We pray for those, Lord, that are discouraged. We pray for those, Lord God, that are just don't feel right. I pray, Lord, that You would lift them up, that You would bless them, Lord. And Lord, help us to continue to remember that out of Egypt You call Your Son. You call us to live for You. We love You. We adore You. We thank You for all that You do. We have faith and trust Your hand. We trust Your heart. Lord, even when we don't understand what's going on around us, we look to You at all times. For it is by faith, Lord God, we have victory. Faith in You, and thank You for that. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, Lord. And all God's people say, amen.
Go with me to page 285 for this morning's invitation. Number 285.
I'd like to invite you to Sunday school. Come over, fellowship with us. We'll have a good time. Brother Tony, would you close us in prayer?
Precious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank You for another opportunity to come to the house. And then we just ask that You